Welcome back into Super Bracket Bros. Thank you once again for joining us. As always, my name is Jay, your personal bracketologist, and joining me today, as usual, is my co-host Eli. How you doing today, Eli?
I feel like taking up a beat-up Volkswagen, touch it up a bit.
Touch it up a bit.
Yeah, the remembrance of my late father.
Find out it's secretly an alien robot and then go on grand adventures with it.
Yeah, it'd be the best summer ever.
Are you going to be more of a Sam Witwicky or a Charlie?
I kind of want to be Charlie. I don't want to be Sam Witwicky.
Does anybody want to be Sam Witwicky? No shame on Shia LaBeouf, but I mean, like, if you were going to pick a life.
Also, if I were to pick a franchise, I'd probably pick the newer one.
Yeah. Which, not even a franchise yet, but has way more promise already. But, yes, you have encountered Super Bracket Bros. We are a podcast that discusses 32 fictional characters brought into a grand tournament in a series of one-on-one matchups to decide just who is the best of the best. And as you've probably already garnered, today we are discussing Bumblebee from the Transformers universe. And also, we have the villain of all villains, Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII.
Sephiroth!
You know, you already know if he loses, that's what I'm playing at the end of this episode. Like, there is no other song. Bumblebee coming in at the 5 seed with Sephiroth as a 4 seed in the South bracket. So, in this bracket last week, we've already discussed Wonder Woman versus Mario. So Wonder Woman won last week, and she'll go up against the winner of this week as well. So that's important to note. Let's get into these characters a little bit. Now, what is your experience with Bumblebee / Transformers?
I was like adjacent to Transformers. I always knew about it. I always liked it, but I wasn't engrossed like a lot of people. Sort of the off media was what I really liked. Like Transformers Beast Wars.
I
love that.
See, I was not very aware of the Transformers cartoons at all, but it, like, in doing research, like, I learned about the Beast Wars and stuff, and that sounded like my shit. Like,
it was my jam. Like, yeah. The animation is super janky, but it's so cool.
I mean, yeah, it's 90s cartoons.
But, like, I did watch the newer Michael Bay films, and, you know, when I was younger, they're very flawed.
Yeah, they're tough to watch these days. I think I've watched the original Transformers on TNT like 100 times.
But to answer your question, I'm not a huge Transformers fan, but I've always enjoyed it. It's kind of, I feel the same way about TMNT.
Yeah,
where I really like the lore.
Yeah,
and you know, I like watching it every time and again, but I'm not a huge fan, but I still really like it.
I feel very much the same way about Transformers, that like it's vaguely in my awareness and it's cool when it's becomes more into my awareness, but I'm not the biggest fan by any means.
I once tried to do research on like the extended universe of the animation, and holy shit. Oh my god, there's a lot of characters.
Yeah, there's a lot of Transformers. But yeah, so we have Bumblebee on one side, and then we have Sephiroth on the other side. Now, have you played any Final Fantasy games?
I have absolutely no knowledge. I haven't played a Final Fantasy at all.
For those that are out of the know, which I don't blame you for, because Final Fantasy is a pretty tall order to get into, but none of the games are really related. You know, they have some common themes and things like that, but different characters each time. And so Sephiroth is the main antagonist of Final Fantasy VII, and my personal experience is mostly from the Kingdom Hearts games, where he's the secret big boss that you go and fight when you run out of other Heartless to beat up. So
that's the only way I know about Sephiroth, is from Kingdom Hearts, watching my brother get really, really angry.
Yeah,
fighting Sephiroth.
Beating Sephiroth in 1 and 2 are like up there as far as like my best video game accomplishments. Like, and especially the second one, I figured out how to beat it without looking anything up, which took me an exuberant amount of time, which granted I had when I was a middle schooler. So that wasn't a problem. But yeah, so Sephiroth is the big bad of Final Fantasy VII, gets brought into the Kingdom Hearts universes, and he's one of the greatest villains in all video game history. So that's why we wanted to bring him in the tournament, and let's just talk about his history since we're on the subject. Final Fantasy came out in 97. He was designed by Tetsuya Nomura. Sephiroth is depicted as Cloud Strife's arch enemy and is seen as a symbol of Cloud's troubled past. He's a former renowned soldier who becomes twisted. Twisted, as in found out he was genetically engineered from birth to be a machine of war. So, casual.
Very anime.
Very anime, very JRPG. Like, I mean, granted, he probably helped define the series.
Yeah, right.
The genre, so, I mean, that makes sense.
This is where all the long swords and spiky hair started coming in.
Yeah, exactly. Upon discovering this, he begins to hate those who have used him and the rest of the world. In more recent news, he will be once again making an appearance as the antagonist of the Final Fantasy VII remake that's coming out in March.
Are you excited for that?
So, Final Fantasy VII, I've played half of a couple different times. I've never really truly gotten into it just because of the scale and how big it is. I've watched YouTube videos of Sephiroth turn-based battles about as much as I can for this episode, but I'm interested to see how it does, because I've heard they're going to do it episodically, so I'm not entirely sure how I feel about that, but I'm looking forward to reading reviews about it. I'm probably not going to hop on it right away because of the expectations for it and everything like that, so I am curious to play it as somebody that's never finished Final Fantasy VII or that's never really gotten into it and how I feel about it. So that's really Sephiroth for you.
And I know you said he was bred to be a soldier. What exactly is the extent of his powers? Because I know he has a one-winged angel.
Yeah.
He has a huge katana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has a huge katana. He has some magical abilities. He can summon meteor storms. He can summon a specific magic spell that leaves him vulnerable but can deplete your health. And so there's different magical abilities. He can fly, as well as being, you know, several times touted as the greatest swordsman that there is. So,
and like, I know you're describing he's endgame boss material, and I've seen clips of him and his final boss state. And mm-hmm. you know, for video game protagonists in this tournament, we sort of give them a lot of equipment of sort of endgame. For bosses, we don't really do that, because bosses in their endgame is significantly stronger.
Yeah, particularly this boss. I mean, you're talking about the boss battle in video games that defined the you're supposed to lose this encounter feeling, you know, like, but not actually.
So I'm assuming if we did Sephiroth at his full power, it would be higher than a one seed.
Right. I mean, he's like destroyer of worlds at like his ultimate form. And so we're kind of going with base form Sephiroth here. He's got his katana. He can fly. He can perform some magic, but you know, he doesn't have that black materia from Final Fantasy VII where he can just end the world and become the universe. Like, yeah. we're not going that far with the character.
We're going with a flying swordsman with some magic. Essentially a souped-up Alucard, if you remember that.
I was talking about it earlier, and I sort of see Sephiroth as, like, the body of Alucard, but can fly, and with the strength of Dracula. Like, that's the kind of, like, power and mix that we're talking about here, so... Yeah, you ready for another trivia time?
All right, is this going to be a new thing?
This is the thing. This one's going to be shorter. It's easy. Over or under. That, okay. You have 50-50 shot either way. Okay, Final Fantasy VII has sold a lot of copies.
I imagine.
Is it over or under 15 million worldwide?
Like all time?
All time. This is as of 2017, I think.
Under.
Under? 11 million.
Yes, yeah. I knew it.
I was surprised. I was looking at like the top like selling video games of all time for this question. Doesn't even make the top 50.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you had like, I think like number 48 or 47, another PlayStation game was The Last of Us at 17 million.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
I was surprised. So it'll be interesting to see how the remake does, you know, if that's more representative of like modern day video game selling standards, so I'll be interested to see how that does. But let's hop over to Bumblebee quick. We're going to talk about him. Just so, Bumblebee, also known as B-127, is one of the original Transformers, often designated as the little brother of the Autobots, the protagonists of the Transformers series. His first appearance was as a toy by Hasbro and the Saturday morning conjoining cartoon that was co-produced by Marvel Productions and Sunbow Productions. Depicted as sort of an upstart, he has taken on Cybertronians many times his size. His most up-to-date appearance include a string of previously mentioned Michael Bay movies, as well as the 2018 film titled Bumblebee, directed by Travis Knight, and he was voiced by Dylan O'Brien in that movie as well.
Voiced by Dylan O'Brien for like 10 minutes.
I know, yeah, right. I saw that he voiced him, you know, looking at the Wikipedia before I watched it, and I was like, does Bumblebee really talk? I feel like that's going to kind of ruin it for me. In doing research for this, like, I haven't been the biggest Transformers fan, as I've said. And so, like, the new Transformer Michael Bay movies never really, like, angered me like it did a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'd never really understood, like, it's just big dumb robots, like, fighting each other. But, like, it's the same thing for, like, people, like, that grew up with Star Wars. People grew up with Transformers, so, like, people get defensive about it. And still, I thought, like, people are just being big babies. But then I saw some of these Michael Bay quotes with just, like, complete disrespect for the Transformers and the Transformers series.
Yeah.
They did Revenge of the Fallen without a writer. Like, this guy had no idea. Like, he was had no idea what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Had no respect for, like, I don't care how dumb your thing is, like, somebody loves it. Like, yeah, you should respect it.
And that's why the 2018 movie is so good, because it has that heart to it.
Yeah, exactly. I could feel it. And, like, if I had grown up, like, watching Bumblebee cartoons and I saw this movie, like, I could feel how I could get the feels. Like, Bumblebee emotes so well.
I honestly felt like a kid watching a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it really delivers.
Yeah, and so I find it so weird. Oh, you know who Travis Knight's dad is?
No.
He's the owner of Nike.
Is he?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Travis Knight. See, I got reverse trivia on him.
You should have dropped that as trivia time. You should have been like, what major sports company does Travis Knight dad open? You should have asked me that. Guess what? I got one more.
It was just a trivia fest today.
So another over-under. Now, keep in mind, I'm going to ask you about the box office of Bumblebee. Knowing that Bumblebee was the highest rated Transformers movie on Rotten Tomatoes, but made the least at the box office of all the Transformers movies.
Yeah.
Was it over or under $550 million?
Under.
Yeah, it was $468 million.
Failure.
Yeah, I know. Like, the highest, well, that, by all critics.
Well, like, that's what shows, like, how much people love Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, even, you know, the lowest turnout for one of these movies is $500 million.
Yeah.
And
I mean, this movie couldn't have been big, not like tremendous huge budget either. Like, I really do truly hope they continue making them at this scale. Like, if you could just give me a one-off of Optimus Prime with Peter Cullen at the voice, like, I am all over that.
Well, it's so interesting, you know, these two fighters going against one another. What you have is an angsty anime swordsman who is the pinnacle of just dark and brooding,
mm-hmm,
versus a Saturday morning cartoon upstart little, yeah, brother robot. And also their fighting style, Sephiroth very much is, you know, sort of angular. You know, he's a lean fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He has his big sword, while Bumblebee is a, you know, almost like a martial artist.
Right, like, he's rough and tumble, like, get up close, like, grapples with... More often than not, he is fighting opponents that are larger than him.
Yeah.
You know, and so now he's fighting someone that's probably, on a raw power level, more powerful than him, but also smaller than him.
Yeah, and we can get into the size disparity when we get into the fights,
yeah,
which we should probably get into.
Yeah, probably. Sephiroth's going to have the higher seed, so he's going to have the home field advantage. So I think straight shooting, I think it's going to be easiest to go with Midgar. Yeah, so we're going to go with Midgar. It's sort of a cyberpunk-esque, like, or it's steampunk, sorry, with a sort of futuristic but industrial vibe to it. And so you have not necessarily high-rise buildings, but you have these tall factory-sized buildings that kind of surround the city, and then you have your larger tower in the middle. But I'm assuming just on a random Midgar street works for this battle.
It's so weird the way we're describing the industrial. It almost seems like Bumblebee's home turf.
yeah, it sort of is. You know, like he's gonna kind of be right at home. It's gonna feel like Cybertron for him. How does this fight break off?
The first image that comes into my head, they both walk on either side of a street. Mm-hmm. They're sort of eyeing each other up. Now, one thing with Bumblebee, and we're basing it mostly off the 2018 movie.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2018 movie, he had a visor that would like clamp down,
yeah,
and it gave him another like analytical, like robotic interface.
Yeah, because we see the face mask in the other movies as well, but you don't really see it. Like, you don't see it from Bumblebee's perspective. I don't think, anyways. But, I mean, granted, I blocked out a lot of those movies. So, like, I'm really sorry if I'm... Like, if you love The Last Knight, I'm really sorry. But, my God. Okay, I promise we're not going to shit on the Michael Bay movies the entire time. Although, how easy would that be?
I mean, we already did that with Star Wars, so...
Yeah. I mean, like... Never mind. Continue.
But anyway, that visor gives him sort of like a computer.
Sort of like a HUD.
Yeah, a HUD, essentially, where yeah. It's able to differentiate, like, okay, enemy. Basically give him a whole analysis of the situation.
Yeah, it's similar to, like, an Iron Man-esque visual enhancement so that he's able to see more clearly and to tune in on his enemies faster. And so, yeah, I mean, he's gonna be going into battle mode, eyeing up Sephiroth on the other side.
Sees the giant sword and says, oh, that's an enemy.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Yeah. And so, like, I mean, neither of these characters, Sephiroth speaks in dark, moody platitudes, but really only speaks when spoken to. And so, and then Bumblebee doesn't talk at all. And so,
I imagine through the radio.
Yeah, I imagine we're gonna have a pretty
probably the shortest.
Yeah, probably not much of a intro scene here to be had. But Bumblebee, what do we want to talk about first? I guess because both of these fighters are gonna come at each other. Sephiroth, the way I know that he opens up his fights is he goes for this dash attack where he gets in, you know, 15 hits in half a second. It's pretty easily blocked, and so if you can block that first initial hit, then you block all the remaining hits. And I would apply that to Bumblebee here, so I guess I give Sephiroth a little bit of a speed advantage to get up and close. But I mean, Bumblebee is he's a smart fighter.
He's actually, I think, better up close and personal. We see in the movie he's very much like up and close. He's primarily a grappler, but he does have his sword.
Yeah, Bumblebee, it's sort of almost, it's not necessarily a full-fledged sword, it's almost like a dagger.
Yeah,
like,
just a really big dagger.
Yeah, and so that kind of comes out of his arms, and if he's able to block this, you know, pull up the sword, you know, and block Sephiroth's attack, like, he can counterattack pretty well here and come back and either, like we said, grapple, as in essentially just grab Sephiroth and throw him into the nearest metal building,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, go in and try to stab him too, which, I mean, Sephiroth, we talked about, is a very beefy character. Like, he's the big boss, so, like, he absorbs so much damage.
It's just weird thinking about it, because in all the, even the Michael Bay movies, Bumblebee always fights opponents of his size or bigger.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him fight a human-sized character, so I'm trying to think. Yeah, he does have his grappling, but that's almost, like, so used to building-sized opponents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, and, like, I think a thing we got, Bumblebee isn't, like, a cocky fighter. He's kind of an upstart, but in all the fight scenes, we see him be pretty tactical.
When it gets down to fighting, he's going to be very tactical, I think. He's very headstrong, but that only comes into play when we're thinking about getting into fights. And so I think for this scenario, already being in the fight, you know, being cocky, I don't think it's necessarily going to be a problem for Bumblebee.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just thinking of the 2018 movie, and he's such a sweet boy in that one.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
He's just like, oh, I don't want to hurt the little pigeon. But no, I see Sephiroth definitely goes and does a dash attack. I think Bumblebee's interface allows him to anticipate it. He blocks it with his sword and, like you said, goes for roundhouse kicks and just launches Sephiroth into the nearest building.
Yeah, which, I mean, honestly, Sephiroth does a brush off his shoulder. And
oh, it's just like cracks his neck.
Yeah, exactly. And like,
well, okay, so he's standing at a distance. Bumblebee does have a, like, it's not a gun, it's a cannon of some sort.
I would call it an energy cannon.
Energy cannon?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, he does have projectiles he's able to fire, and he doesn't use it particularly often. It's seen as perhaps it's just like the Transformers, you know, leaning towards a more melee fighting, you know, as far as like entertainment. But yeah, he does have the gun. I could see him, you know, if he gets the counter on Sephiroth, throws him into the building, and then, I mean, this energy cannon is no joke.
No, we see like it blow up antenna and mm-hmm. like buildings, so.
yeah like it can take down the building. I mean, if he fires at Sephiroth, you know, I think it's going to do some damage and get a couple good blasts off on him, but it's not going to take long for Sephiroth to get up.
And so what is Sephiroth, is he just going to be doing a simple tactic of just bum rushing Bumblebee?
Well, he's a boss, so his attacks sort of progress as he gets lower on health.
Right.
And so I imagine Sephiroth has about three different parts to him. Okay. Even though he doesn't necessarily evolve, like the first third is just a lot of straight sword attacks. The second third, he's going to start throwing magic. He has these firewalls that he can summon. He has these black energy balls that will essentially act as homing missiles. They go away after a little bit if they don't land. And then the last third, which we'll get into, but, you know, he starts to summon things like the Heartless Angel and his meteor storms and things like that. So he kind of progresses as you go, and I think that's going to be to his disadvantage, where a lot of the sword attacks, I feel like Bumblebee can probably either tank or block.
We did see in the movies a lot of Transformers, a big damage is done by their Transformer blades, you know, different mm-hmm. things. And Sephiroth does seem to have the size of one of those blades.
Yeah.
I do think, though, because it's not being wielded by a giant robot of comparable size to Bumblebee, I don't think it's going to like cleave off an arm or something. But I do think it'll do some damage, like just cuts and scrapes and everything.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if he gets a shot like in between like Bumblebee's armor, I think that's where Bumblebee is going to get in trouble, and that's where you could see a limb start to come off. Bumblebee's reactions are very good. I mean, yeah. like you mentioned earlier, like we don't see him interact or fight with like human melee fighters ever. Like that just isn't a thing. But you do see him about a dozen times per movie catching a human while flying through midair in a slow action sequence. That does happen a lot.
Yeah.
And so I would say if he has the dexterity to grab a human out of midair, he has the dexterity to block a human out of midair while like falling, tumbling, doing what have you.
And he also has that visor.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll give him the opportunity.
Exactly.
To...
like the visor will help him see attacks coming his way as well. And yeah, so I think he's able to do reasonably well against the swordsmanship. I mean, Sephiroth is extremely fast, but during the actual battle, like, I mean, he relays these things, you know, like in big villain boss fashion, like he relays when his big hits are coming.
And that's when Bumblebee just puts up his gun and shoots him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that whole Dragon Ball Z thing where they just stand screaming and somebody just pops them.
Yeah. One thing that Sephiroth never does is block. Because he's so tanky, like he has health bars on health bars on health bars. He's going to be taking these hits. Like the what he does to in order to avoid is, I mean, he can teleport, but it's usually teleporting into an offensive maneuver.
Right.
At least that's how I know. So
he's probably one of the most offensive minded characters in this bracket.
Exactly. Like he's not really ever blocking too much with that sword unless it's an epic showdown with Cloud versus their two ridiculously sized swords. Yeah, I see Bumblebee getting a lot of hits in early, and I think this is where we get into the... And Bumblebee's going to be scratched up. I don't think there's any doubting that.
But considering he is a robot, and I don't know how they Transformers feel pain, but we see in the movies Transformers, when they get their limbs hacked off, they're still just chugging along. They're still robots.
I know. Bumblebee loses his legs in the first Transformers movie and, like, continues to fight. I don't know if there's much question about, like, Bumblebee is going to fight until the end.
Yeah, there's the incapacitation. We talk about certain heroes and villains in these brackets having sort of a stamina meter. Bumblebee, I don't think, he doesn't have that.
No, like, he's fighting all the way. I mean, same for Sephiroth, honestly. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Sephiroth breathe. Like, like, let alone sweat.
Breathing wastes my time. Yeah. By the way, I forgot to mention, when this fight kicks off, do we hear the Sephiroth?
It'll start to come over Sephiroth, or it'll come over Bumblebee's radio. Like, it's legally obligated for that song to appear whenever Sephiroth appears, no matter what. Now, we gotta talk about Sephiroth's magic.
Oh, boy.
This is where Bumblebee, I fear for Bumblebee a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about the Heartless Angel. This is a maneuver.
Is that the Final Fantasy cover band?
So, the Heartless Angel is kind of Sephiroth's trademark ability. He's able to instantly deplete the magic, not really applicable here, but the magic and the health of any given opponent. And so in the Final Fantasy VII games, you know, you have three fighters, and so him doing this to one of your fighters, you know, really, really messes things up. But you're able to recover, and how they portray this in Kingdom Hearts, where it's a one-on-one fight, he sort of summons this orb that follows you around, so you're sort of marked for death, essentially, and you will die unless you're able to essentially break Sephiroth's concentration. And I don't remember offhand how many seconds you have, but it's 4 or 5 seconds.
Okay.
And so...
So it's a do-or-die minute, like, response. Yeah,
exactly. Like, usually happens is after you land a combo on him, he will use this ability and he will teleport out of there and as far away from you as possible within the given arena. And so I could see him, you know, after taking a hit, being like, fuck this, like, and sort of teleporting away and summoning this against Bumblebee. And this is where I think Bumblebee's ranged attacks, like, need to come into play. Pronto.
And I know we keep referencing the visor, but this Terminator-ass visor, you know, in the case of Sephiroth disappearing, essentially, like, what is the extent of his warping?
Essentially transports instantaneously. Yeah, and you wouldn't really know from Final Fantasy VII or Kingdom Hearts, because, I mean, you're walled in magically against him, you know, so, I mean, he doesn't transport out of the battle arena ever. And so, I think we can do something similar for this battle. You know, he's not going to transport himself out of Midgar.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Like, he's not...
Otherwise, that would be the most boring.
Yeah, like, he's not going to be able to transport out of Bumblebee's range.
Also, I feel like Sephiroth as a character, he would want to be there.
Like... Right, yeah, exactly. Like, and so, I mean, in Kingdom Hearts, it's always, you know, you summon your first magic spell as fast as possible, you know, to be able to get him. And if you can't get to him, then you get an item ready to heal yourself as soon as it hits you. Because, I mean, of course, Sora has a 1 HP ability that saves him if he takes a hit that depletes all his
Bumblebee
health.
Just has a car battery on hand to just eat.
Yeah. The one thing that I don't know about is, obviously, the attack can be interrupted. I don't even know if it's going to affect Bumblebee. I mean,
because, like, he's not human.
Yeah. You've never seen this ability done on something that isn't Sora, Cloud, or his buddies.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I know we set up this, you know, in our theater of imagination, this composite of all these different abilities interacting with one another. But yeah, there's no, like, robotic character in Final Fantasy, is there, that can get damaged by this? And, like, Transformers do have a quote-unquote soul with their Allsparker.
That's the thing. Like,
but like we said before, when they get their limbs chopped off, they're still robots.
Yeah.
They're not, like, they don't feel pain.
Yeah, so I don't know. And, like, we can talk our asses off about does Bumblebee really have a soul or not? But I just wanted to put it out there as like a possibility. Like, Sephiroth has this instant kill ability, but Bumblebee is also a robot and could possibly not be affected by it.
Well, we kind of have to make a decision because this is a very make or break move.
But we'll get there. You know, we'll make our personal decisions and then come back later.
Regardless, I do imagine Sephiroth casting this and then doing his warp to get out of range. I think he'll start looking around, and, you know, the second Sephiroth has any sort of movement, I think Bumblebee has the... has basically aiming software. Yeah. He probably has an aim bot to fire off an energy blast and hit Sephiroth, thus breaking his concentration. Yeah, even if we do give the, like, it does affect Bumblebee, I don't think it would be that much.
I don't think
it'll KO him. Energy cannon and aim bot will be able to break his concentration.
Yeah, I think so as well. But yeah, like, that's a possibility. And so, I mean, once you get that hit, you know, Sephiroth kind of has to recover for a moment. That's where Bumblebee gets some more hits in. I mean, honestly, like, I guess I don't see the home field advantage being much of a home field. I mean, besides, like, these buildings for Bumblebee to throw Sephiroth into constantly and try to drop one on him.
And then even, like, throwing rocks and shit at him.
Yeah.
Like, what? Sephiroth isn't doing dick all in this.
No, yeah, like, he's not using his environment to any extent. Like, I just don't see him doing that.
And as we've seen in this 2018 movie, if there's rubble, Bumblebee can hide behind it. Yeah. He's very adept at hiding behind rubble.
A plus hide and seek.
Also, okay, one thing I remember in the beginning of the 2018 movie when they're fighting on Cybertron, Bumblebee is shown to drive around in like a car form with two mounted machine guns on the front.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know if he pulls out in this fight, but I just want to say that because that was cool.
Yeah, I mean, if Sephiroth ever attempts a maneuver to try to get away from Bumblebee, I mean, he's going into car form and he's pulling out all the guns. Like, I don't think Sephiroth ever runs away, so I don't think that comes up here. But yeah, I think Bumblebee continues to chip away at Sephiroth at a much faster rate than Sephiroth is able to damage Bumblebee. I mean, the black orbs that he summoned, which, I mean, I can't think of a name for them, but he essentially summons them and they follow Bumblebee around. I think that's usually the... Maybe this is me imposing my own beliefs, but I hated them. And so I sort of see those getting after Bumblebee a decent amount, because, I mean, Bumblebee's mobile, but, I mean, he's also a big target.
Yeah.
Like, and so I don't see Sephiroth necessarily missing with those either.
No, I think Bumblebee, I think we talk about how much Sephiroth is getting hit. Bumblebee, I think, is equally getting hit just because he is mobile, but given that he's such a big character,
yeah,
his movement takes a little bit longer than Sephiroth. I think Sephiroth has like a one step advantage on him in that sense.
And so this is sort of the last step for Sephiroth, and I know we're talking a lot about Sephiroth's moves because he literally has moves, and it's sort of what does Bumblebee do to counteract that. And I mean, it's the classic like video game-y like boss fight. Sephiroth has the power here, like what does Bumblebee do to counteract this? Because I mean, Sephiroth, he doesn't counteract things, he just sort of takes it. So that's kind of why I think this is how the conversation has gone.
It's not, if Sephiroth comes to a brick wall, he doesn't find out a way around it. He tries to bust it down.
Exactly, yeah. And so now Sephiroth, additionally, he has his meteor attack.
I'm sorry, just a big fuck off meteor.
Several big fuck off meteors fall from the sky. And I mean, like, this guy can probably take out a city block with these. Yeah, how does Bumblebee handle meteors?
Well, they're, like you said, they're in a city block.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, he's a fucking car.
Yeah.
Can't he just drive away?
I mean, yeah, he could probably drive away, yeah.
And even if he decides, oh, I can't do that for whatever reason. I mean, the buildings, you know, your first instinct in natural disasters is to not go into a building. But that's because you're a fleshy little pathetic human.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a giant,
yeah,
20-foot tall robot.
That's
so
true, yeah.
So Bumblebee can seek safety in the buildings, and if they do get collapsed, he can just, you know, brush it off, essentially.
This is where you have a hard time attacking Sephiroth, because he's going to be throwing everything he has at you at this point. Like, this is where the kitchen sink comes out and he says, fuck this. Like,
I'm done with this shit.
Yeah. He is going for broke and launching everything he has at you, and he has this dark aura around him that like increases his defense and offensive capabilities. Like, this is really where, like, and he doesn't change form, but I mean, this is his, this is about as ultimate form as regular form Sephiroth gets.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to have to develop a tactic here to be able to, I mean, I could see it going to car form. Like, he's gonna have to go a little stealth mode here and like go around the block or get out of Sephiroth's sight, like really expand the battlefield.
He just parallel parks somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, because he's a Transformer, Sephiroth doesn't recognize him.
Oh my god.
He just sees these steampunk fucking like jalopies.
Yeah.
And then a little yellow beetle, and he's just like,
Yeah.
Nothing suspicious here. And then Bumblebee takes a pop shot at him.
You know, I haven't played all of Final Fantasy VII, but there might be some yellow beetles in Midgar. I don't know. That is a very good point. I mean, like, he has that move exactly one time. Like,
oh, what? Yeah,
like, it's gonna take exactly one time.
That'd be so funny
for Sephiroth to recognize.
That'd be so funny if Sephiroth didn't get it. Like, mid, but he keeps falling for it. So I guess the question now, this kind of reminds me of the Elsa fight, and Elsa does have her finishing move, and sort of the victory for whichever combatant depends on the survivability and effectiveness of this move. And so we have to ask ourselves, how is Bumblebee going to defeat Sephiroth? Because before it was Sephiroth trying to take down Bumblebee, and now it's completely flipped.
Yeah, I mean, if we get to this point of the battle.
Yeah.
I mean, Sephiroth is going to get whittled down, and I mean, it really just takes that one extra punch to put him over the edge. I mean, despite being as anime as a video game character gets, like, he still has a health bar. You know, he's not like a My Hero character where he can go up and above and beyond and
plus ultra.
Yeah, it's not like you see Sephiroth's health bar get to zero and then he stands back up and says plus ultra. And so, I mean, it's really just about whittling him down, and whatever gets him down gets him down. Like, we talked about the ways that, I mean, Bumblebee punches, grapples, throws, knocks buildings down, uses the energy cannons, and uses his sword to slash at him. I don't think there's really any finishing move here for Bumblebee. It's just him doing what he does, which is, you know, fairly basic, but very effective. How do you feel about making a decision at this point?
I don't know right now. I'm really torn. Are you? Are you prepared?
I think I'm pretty prepared, yeah.
Okay, give me a second.
So here on Super Bracket Bros, how we determine the winner is, both of us, me and Eli here, we come up with a blank out of 10, how many times would so-and-so win? And from there, if we disagree, whoever's more confident based on, you know, if Eli thinks 7 out of 10 times, I think 6 out of 10 times for the opposite character, Eli's character wins. If they're equal and opposite, then we discuss further.
Yeah, we don't leave.
Yeah.
We don't leave this house.
And so we've come to a decision. So
we're basically like the Cardinals selecting the next pope. We can't leave.
So I've written my answer down. Eli's going to go first, and so I will not sway from mine, and I will let Eli explain his reasoning.
Okay, after much thinking, I was using a lot, two fights in particular, to see this. The Alucard Incredible fight, for the similarities with Alucard and just the bread and butter abilities of the opponent in each situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of the Elsa fight with all the meteors and the basically apocalyptic, you know, attacks that Sephiroth can do.
Yeah.
And in both instances, the other character won in both those fights. Elsa lost and Alucard lost.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm going to go with Sephiroth 6 out of 10 times with this. Bumblebee is such a capable fighter, and we see him do one-on-one matchups and win many of those.
Yeah.
But he isn't fighting tornadoes. He's not fighting giant insane magical bullshit. And so why I'm doing six, I'm not too confident, is because I do think the fundamentals of Bumblebee will be able to take down Sephiroth four times, but it's just the meteor shower. I don't know. I think just an extra meteor, an extra fire, that brief invulnerability, I think that's why Sephiroth wins this.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. I'm probably a little more confident in Sephiroth. I was going to say 7 out of 10 times Sephiroth because of the meteors, because of everything that he can do. And additionally, like, that sword is going to take its toll on Bumblebee at some point. Chances are, like, he's going to be able to get hits in because we haven't really talked about it too much, but I believe he is the faster character in this scenario. Like, I think the teleporting is going to get spotted by Bumblebee's visor, and so, you know, I don't necessarily think that's an issue. I think maybe, you know, in one or two of these out of ten, you know, you could see the Heartless Angel working where he just instantly drops Bumblebee. And, like, the meteor, like, I mean, if he gets a couple square hits in with that, like, that's a KO for Sephiroth. There's just a lot of things that Sephiroth can do very powerfully. I think Bumblebee, in most scenarios, takes him to the end of the line.
Yeah.
I do believe that. And here's another part of my logic is Bumblebee isn't the Autobot.
Right, yeah.
Like, he's not the guy that takes on the big boss. He has his side story where he takes on Starscream and Optimus takes on Megatron.
Yeah. Like,
if this was Optimus Prime, we could be having a different discussion here, because Optimus is the guy that takes on the other guy.
Right.
You know, Bumblebee is very successful at what he does, you know, but it's sort of within this box that I don't know if he can break out of in this fight. All right. Sephiroth wins, which, you know.
Yeah, all of these 4-5 matchups have been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun discussions.
Yeah, so that is going to be the last 4 versus 5 we discuss, as we only have 2 more matchups left in the South bracket and in the first round before we move on to the second round.
This is exciting. Please tell me, who is our next matchup?
So next week we have an oddball. We have the number 2 seed, Iron Man. Normal, right?
MCU, Robert Downey
MCU,
Jr.
MCU, RDJ, the whole... You know what's going on. 7th seed, we have Pennywise from the It universe.
Huh.
So, that'll be an interesting one.
It's going to be a very cerebral matchup.
It's going to be an experience. Which is why you keep coming back to Super Bracket Bros. I just know it. But, yeah, so that will be next week. Make sure to tune in. And then the week following that, we'll have Link versus Hiccup and Toothless. That'll be our 3 versus 6. We're getting through things here. And just wanted to say at the end of the show here, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you have any grievances or any ideas, both of which I equally value at this point, let us know at superbracketbros@gmail.com. We sincerely appreciate it. And that about sums it up for us. Do you have anything else for the people, Eli?
Sephiroth!
Thank you, as always, for joining us. We sincerely appreciate it. And on behalf of myself and Eli here, remember, no true hero is a one-trick pony.